I'd like to turn to the 22nd chapter of the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 22. Now this is after Israel had been liberated from Egypt, and they were sojourning, and God was watching over them. And so this is part of that history of the children of Israel. This is after they had been punished with the fiery serpent that would kill them, that God had sent. And then he provided salvation from that. But where this is, the scenario is that in the first verse there, the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. So they're in the plains of Moab. Balak, son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. So the king here, Balak, he'd heard, he knew that Israel had been victorious, and what all the lands they had taken and so forth, and their successes. And so this king Balak here had heard of these things, and Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. So he was fearful. Like, he could see the same thing happening to his country, his nation, that these people, because they were many, they're being blessed by God. The same thing, his fate may be the same as the others. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. So we've got that set up. We know the king here. And now we have a prophet, Balaam, that comes on the scene in this. And there's, I don't intend to go through the several chapters that covers Balaam, but a lot is written on about Balaam. I've never talked about him before, but more is written in God's word about Balaam than each of the individual apostles, than Mary, the mother of Jesus. So more is written about him. I'm thinking there's something that we could learn from this. I just picked up or was shown a couple of things throughout this. There's so much, I'll bring out some points in here and go to a couple of other places. And Balaam is referenced several times in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, but not in a good way. It's not in a good way. When Balaam lived and died, and now in God's word we have this, and we know what he's done, which you'll hear in a moment, where he went wrong, what he did right. But you could say, okay, they're still talking about him. I think about preachers in that way. We talk about preachers been gone for years and all, and some good, some bad stories about them. I just hope when I'm gone that maybe just no one say anything. I'd love that. Just nothing. Just go on into oblivion and not say anything. There'd be much bad that could be said. But Balaam, he made some mistakes here, but it says he's a prophet. Balak sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor. So Balak, the king of Moab, he sends messengers to Pethor, which is about 450 miles away Balak wanted this prophet. And this you could say this prophet, soothsayer, seer, sorcerer. But remember, Pharaoh called his magicians and sorcerers in. But so he sent messengers to Balaam and to tell him, "Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth." A little bit of exaggeration there. "And they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee," Balak saying to Balaam, this prophet, "come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that, or I know that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed." So he's telling Balaam, "I want you to come and curse this people, because I can't win. I'm going to lose against this people that covers the face of the earth. All these people." So he's just been talking about the numbers so far here. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. So they said what Balak had said to Balaam. So Balaam, he's right on target here. He says unto them, "Lodge here this night, and I'll bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me." And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. So he said, y'all stay here, lodge here. And in other words, he's going to go pray to God. God's going to speak to him, tell him what to do or what not to do. That's what he's seeking God's counsel, his guidance here. And God came to Balaam and said, "What men are these with thee?" And Balaam said unto God, "Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, have sent them unto me, saying," talked about the people again, the number come out of Egypt, the Israelites. Wants to drive them out. God said unto Balaam, "Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." So they're blessed, this people is. And that I felt that clarity in what God tells me sometimes. You know, sometimes he kind of leaves a little room, and we'll see in a moment in this same kind of thing here. But he told, don't go with these men, and and do not curse Israel, because they're blessed. So it's perfectly clear. So then we go on. So Balaam rose up in the morning, told the princes of Balak, "Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you." So Balaam's on target here. He's good. He's fine. He's done what the Lord told him. "I'm not going with you. So get thee into thy land, and I'm not going. The Lord's told me this." So Balaam's he's good now. He's on the right track. Princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, "Balaam refuseth to come with us." So Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. So he's going to take a second shot at getting Balaam to come and curse this people of Israel. Sent more honorable than the princes before. And they came to Balaam, told him the same thing. Balak says, "I pray thee, let nothing hinder thee from coming unto me." So he's really pushing Balaam here to come to curse this people. Then he says, "For I will promote thee unto every great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people." So King Balak is laying it on thick now. He wants Balaam to come and curse this people. He's thinking, "I'm going to lose. I'm going to lose my nation against this people here. So I've got to have this prophet come and curse them so that I may win." Now, here we get into something. It could be somewhat confusing, but anyway, I'll express my thoughts on this, and y'all can tell me later yours. And Balaam answered, this is the 18th chapter of 18th verse of the 22nd chapter of Numbers. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of my Lord to do less or more. So I said, I don't care if he gives me all the money he has. I can't go against the word of the Lord in this. I'm not going to. He said, do not curse that people. And so Balaam's like, I'm not going to do that. To do less or more. Now, therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. So same thing. That second time here, he's going to... Now, God's already given him an answer, right? He told him, no, don't go. Don't curse that people. So very, very clear. Nothing, no questioning in that. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. Okay, you go with them if they come unto you and bid you to come, but you'll say and do what I tell you. This is what God's telling Balaam here. So you go. And do that. So he rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, and went with the princes of Moab. So he went. Now, in this, so, well, now it's kind of confusing. So he must still be doing right because God said, go with them if they bid you come. Balaam had already decided he needed a way to go. Now, we have reasons for his going to Moab to do this. Now, so, but he still has to do and say what God tells him to do. But we don't really see, and Balaam hasn't said anything that tells us he's off kilter on his priorities or that he's just that the God tells him. You know, he said, well, stay a night, talk to God. God will talk to me, tell me what to do. And he says, go with him. But Balaam had already decided that he would do that. Now, and out of nowhere, notice that he says in there that I just read, in that 18th verse, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord. Who said anything about, now I guess he assumed, or maybe someone said something about silver and gold and riches. Typically that's what they were paid. But he brings that up out of nowhere. But in 2 Peter chapter 2, one place Peter writes about Balaam. Again, not in a good light here. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, he says something about Balaam, and it's always, don't do this. Don't let this happen to you. Like Balaam did. So it's always that, the negative of it. It's not like, oh, follow, you know, it's not like the 11th chapter of Hebrews and the faithfulness of the people and all that. But it says, and it talks about the children. He's talking about having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, cursed children. Then he says in the 15th verse, second chapter of 2 Peter, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Loved the wages of unrighteousness. So here we have more insight into the reasoning that Balaam wanted to go. He's greedy. He's greedy. He wants riches. One other place in Jude. I believe it is Jude 11. Jude 11 says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. So we have, again, more descriptive here, the error of Balaam for reward greedily. We know the reason. Even though the words are not written in that 18th, 19th, 20th verse of the 22nd chapter of Numbers, so he wasn't fine. He was like, well, God told me to go. He'd already decided he's going to go. So sometimes, and now I think one of the main points here is that we should realize and see when God has told us no in something. I'm the worst. I need this more than anybody because I, well, maybe not. I'm just like Balaam. Well, maybe there's a way. Well, he opened this up, so maybe I can do this. Now, but each night he'd go and see what the Lord had to say. Now, I read this story, if I can get this straight, just real briefly, that there's a preacher somewhere, and a country preacher, and some church had asked him to come be their pastor in bigger city, larger church, and so forth, and more wealthy, and so forth. And so this preacher told his wife, well, I'm going to go upstairs and pray about this, whether I leave this church and go to that church or not, and see what the Lord has me to do. I'm going to go upstairs and pray. And she said, well, maybe I should come up and I'll pray with you. And he said, no, you stay down here and pack. He's already decided what he's doing. I'm going to go up and pray about it, though. If that hasn't been me, I sincerely, there's things that I have no idea what to pray about. But I tell you what, you pray for God's will that he bless a situation and keep relying on him. He's going to bless you in that. He'll bless you. And I tell you what, he knows our hearts. He knew the heart of Balaam. Balaam's already set his sights on Moab to go over there. And yet he follows. He does not curse Israel. He doesn't do that. And he says the things that the Lord tells him to say. So he does right in that respect. But if we read all these places about Balaam in the New Testament, and old as well, then we see why he's going. So Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. So God's anger, so because he went. It's just, but God, you told me to go with them. God knows much more than we do. We don't have the mind of God. He knows clearly what's going on here. And he's still watching over this people that he loves, his promised people that he'd sent this fiery serpent to punish. So he doesn't let them get away with stuff. He gives them grace and mercy. And yet Balaam will see that, possibly, maybe not, but we'll see. He's thinking, well, God's going to end. These people are sinful and wicked, and God will surely allow me to curse them. He's thinking it's going to turn out in my favor, I think. So God's anger was kindled, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. So Balaam's he's loaded up his ass there, and he's on his trip down there, this angel is in the way. This angel is in the way. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. So it says in the 23rd verse, the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. So his animal that he's riding, she sees the, and it is, it's a female, but I won't go into that. But she sees the angel of the Lord in the way. She saw it there. And then ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote his ass to turn her into the way. He doesn't see this angel, Balaam doesn't. His ride there, this donkey, she went out in the field. I'm not going to go into that angel standing in the way, but he didn't see it. So he whips the donkey there. And the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and wall on that side. So when the ass saw the angel of the Lord the second time here, she thrust herself in unto the wall, crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. He keeps whipping this poor animal. animal sees the angel there with a sword drawn, and he's not going to, so he's saving Balaam. You know, she is there. So he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place, and there was no way to turn, either to the right hand nor to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with the staff. So he beats this animal again. Yeah. And because he doesn't see this. But then it says 28th verse, the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done to thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me. I would there were a sword in mine hand, for I would kill thee. It's amazing to me that he's not standing there, oh my goodness, there's this donkey is talking to me. No, not that. He just answers, this is why. He just says back. Obviously in this, we don't know from where we will receive good counsel, advice from whoever, from whatever. You may see something, experience something, and we need to be ready for that. That's saving us. The times, again, in that we've been in trafficking, Kathy said, you know what, maybe we're avoiding some wreck, terrible wreck. Maybe something might have happened to us. We'll never know that. But it could happen. God's maybe watching over us. So I try to calm down, take a breath, and breathe in the traffic. So this donkey is telling him these things. So he said, I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Okay, have I ever done this to you? Done anything? Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam. So then his eyes are open. And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. That just amazes me. I can't imagine what he's seeing there. And then all of a sudden it's there. And his sword drawn in his hand, this angel. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. So he's changed a little bit. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. Okay. The angel of the Lord says, thy way is perverse before me. He tried to stop him there in the way. And so we have more description that this is not what Balaam should be doing. It's perverse. He shouldn't be going. So the Lord sent this angel to stop him. Excuse me. And the ass saw me, and I turned from me these three times. Unless he had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. Had that donkey not done that, Balaam would be dead, the donkey would be alive. That's what he's saying there. Would have slew him with his sword. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. Okay. But and the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men. So again, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. So he went after this donkey that he's riding spoke to him and told him these things and saved his life really three times there. And he's mad. He's whipping it for running away and hurting his foot and falling down and so forth. So in the 23rd chapter, I think it's three or four different times, Balak takes Balaam and takes him up and shows him different things in the in his land there. But in the 23rd chapter, fourth verse, and God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars. I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. So this is good. God's telling him, this is what you do. Go back to Balak and tell him, you say this. And he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, have brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? From the top of the rocks I see him. So he tells him that he cannot curse them. Balak said, come, in the 13th verse, and Balak said unto him, come, I pray thee, with me unto another place. So he takes them again and shows him, and more burnt offerings and altars here. And he says in the 20th verse, behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. So this is the picture, and even with all the wickedness and the sinfulness that Israel was guilty of, God still had grace and mercy upon them. He treated them as children, as such, that would punish them when he saw fit. He withheld his wrath, you know, when Moses would speak to him and so forth. But this is the picture here, and he's having mercy upon them again. And then in the 27th verse, Balak brought him to yet another place. Peradventure it will please God that thou mayest curse me from them thence. He's still trying to get Balaam to curse this people here. In Balaam, in the 24th chapter, second verse, Balaam lifted his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And so he has another parable to speak to Balak here, and he goes into a trance, and he does. He keeps saying what the Lord told him to say. But in the 9th verse of this 24th chapter, the second part of this, the second sentence, I guess, in that verse, blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. Now, in Genesis chapter 12 is where this is coming from. So this is from God, of course, and it says in the 3rd verse of that 12th chapter of Genesis, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Balaam knows this. Balak knows it. If the ultimate event was for Balaam to curse that people, then he would gain favor with Balak and riches and political power, whatever it was going to be. Only if he cursed that people, if he knows this, he would be cursed if he curses them. And it's quoted here, blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed he that curseth thee. Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam. You know, he's shown him all this stuff, promised everything, and this guy just will not curse this people. And his anger is kindled against Balaam. And he smote his hands together, and Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these 3 times. And Balaam answers in the 12th verse, "Spake I not also to thy messengers, which thou sentest unto me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord." So he already said that. He said that to begin with. Before we left home and came here, I can't go beyond the word of the Lord. Balaam told him that. But you always think, well, there's a chance. Well, if Balaam would have done what God told him and just, no, don't go and don't curse Israel, then all this wouldn't be happening. He would have just done right. But you know, there's probably a way. He was greedy. We see that. He wants riches. So I can't go behind the commandment of the Lord. Now, one last thing here in the, reputation or what we know about Balaam. And I touched on this in another sermon out of Revelation before, earlier this year, I think. But in the 25th chapter, it brings Israel more into it and some of their mistakes here. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom and the daughters of with the daughters of Moab, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. So they're breaking the law of God here, and you can see in Exodus 34 where this is listed out. They know they cannot do these things, and so they're punished for this. 24,000 people end up being killed in that by God, plague. But so at this point, I'm thinking, okay, we just left Balaam. And this is Israel doing this. Doesn't say anything about Balaam here. But in another chapter in Numbers here, 31st chapter, we'll see that he did have everything to do with this. The 16th verse of this 31st chapter in this same book says, speaking of all these things that Israel is committing now, these sinful things, idolatry and so forth, "Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord." That's where 24,000 were killed. So it's through the counsel of Balaam. So again, it doesn't say anything right here that this had anything to do with Balaam, but he is the one that counseled Israel to do these things. Now he's thinking that, okay, if they do this, the Lord will allow me to curse them. I'll get my riches, my silver and gold and political, my fame and so forth and all. But Lord knows all this stuff. He knows this. Paul actually uses it in 1 Corinthians and mentions this 24,000. So, and there he says 23,000. So it's 23, 24,000, give or take. Yes, there's no, I mean, we don't have to, oh my goodness, Paul had it wrong or the Bible's wrong or something like that. It's a bunch of people there, 23,000. But he mentions, he's teaching the people, the church there where he is, the Corinthians, don't do these things lest this happen to you. So he's using Balaam and that event there in Israel to teach against wickedness and evil. There, and so he even teaches these things over there. Now, one last thing, and I'm going to close. I'm going to go to again back over to Revelation, second chapter, and that by the way that I just read, when it talks about the doctrine of Balaam, well, that was it. That idolatry, intermingling in other kingdoms and so forth. The Israelites were not to do, Israel was not to do this. But back, if you remember, in Revelation chapter 2, this is the 14th verse, this is in the message to Pergamos. I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. There's the doctrine of Balaam. So now that's what Balaam is known for, is that. Now, I know of ministers that got off into heresy, and they have since gone. They've died, and they're have no doubt that they are in heaven with Jesus Christ, their Redeemer. But that is the reputation, or that is the legacy that they left, is that heresy. This is what Balaam left. This prophet left is that doctrine of Balaam. I only would like to be remembered for the doctrine of Jesus Christ, yeah. God Almighty, not my own. Like, oh, he figured all this out. He must be really smart and all, and showed everyone else. No. We need to stick to God's word. But so there were people here in this church at Pergamos that were still holding to the doctrine of Balaam. And so, again, though, did you notice it gave us one bit of information? And when I preached out of here about this message to Pergamos from Jesus Christ, I looked into it some, but I didn't really catch this. It says, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. I didn't read any of that back there where I was. And you read 22nd through the 34th chapter of Numbers. But we see here, he did that. Balaam did that. He taught Balak how to cast a stumbling block. I'm not doing it. I'm not spreading this. I'm not cursing the people. But he taught Balak how to cast a stumbling block before Israel. So God knew all. God knew before he told, said, yeah, go on. Go to Moab. You go. But say only what I tell you to say, and so forth. But he already knew what was in Balaam's heart and his mind. So then he has this doctrine there. And then also it brings in the Nicolaitans here in this church. They had a problem with that. But so they have this doctrine in this church at Pergamos. Well, you remember the situation where they dwell, this the seat of Satan was there, this throne built on the mountain there to Zeus, and it was idolatry and so forth. So that had some were holding to that doctrine and idols and so forth that were in that church at Pergamos. And so Jesus said, this is how you take care. I have all something against you because you have some people in here like that. And so it teaches them what to do about it. I think the main thing that hit me with this little bit of that story of Balaam is the fact that he had a clear answer. He had a clear answer. No, don't go and do not curse them. He knew. And then, I can see myself in there. Well, there may be a way for this or that. And well, he didn't really say that. You know, we can trick God or something. No, that's not going to happen. He knows. And when we know fully his desire, for lack of a better word, but his will, that we know his will in things in our life, then that's what we follow. Think about that walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We know that he is with us there. He'll guide us. He saved Balaam's life three times through that donkey. And yet Balaam whipped him. But he knew, he ended up knowing, like, oh my, I'm sure he felt bad about that, because he had saved his life. That angel would have slain Balaam with that sword. But God saved Balaam, even though he's heading into this false doctrine there, idolatry and so forth. So I think that's it. You know, I need to know and realize when God has said no, and heed the no. Heed that. With Balaam, if you bless those people, you'll be blessed. If you curse them, you'll be cursed. Which way do you go? Yeah. Well, I want to be blessed. That's the way I want to go. And so this is all for here. I couldn't care less if I were not a child of God. I wouldn't. What? It doesn't matter. I just want my riches, silver and gold. But to know that we'll be blessed, and that as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because He is with us, and we know that. May God bless and keep you. Is my prayer.